Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and a very pleasant good evening to all of you all out there. Welcome to this edition of your half-hour inspirational program, a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 30 minutes. Thank you all so very much for joining us this evening. We've got a very special program that's coming to you tonight. For all my listening audience from around the world that has been tuning in, I want to say a special thanks to all of you all for being faithful to this broadcast for the last two and a half years that I've been doing this Friday night ministry. I really sincerely appreciate you as you tune in each and every week for the past 2.5 years. And the audience is constantly growing, and I'm very grateful to God, and I'm grateful to you all for that as well. I want to continue to encourage each and every one of you all to let your family and friends know about this broadcast. It costs them absolutely nothing, and I certainly hope that they are reaching or actually being blessed by this broadcast, as many of you all have from time to time. Let me know that. If you would like to be a guest or a feature guest on the show, just simply contact us at drjessewalker.com or online at drjessewalker.com as well. Or you can certainly call the office at 954-367-6766. We will certainly give consideration to that. Tonight we've got, as I said, a very special program, and that brings with us oftentimes a very special guest. Many oftentimes on the Friday night broadcast and just as well on my Tuesday evening show, we have featured guests that are authors. We have people from all walks of life that have come across this path of their journey on to bigger and better things. And I certainly appreciate anyone who takes the time out to be on my show, and I wish everyone well. And many of you all are having prosperity, and this is a component of having passed through. You know, oftentimes it reminds me sometimes of the old Twilight Zone show that I watch, or one of the other movies on Turner Classic Movie where people got their first start. And before you know it, years as the years progress, people move on to bigger and better and, of course, greater things. But, you know, their humble beginning sometimes starts in places that you'd be surprised. And so I look forward to those of you all that are making tremendous gains and progress, I was able to make a contribution to perhaps some of that as you got out there and you went on. All right, tonight we're going to invite the presence of the Lord into our program in this evening. Father, we thank you for all your blessings, and we pray that you would be with us this evening as we venture into tonight's broadcast. We ask that you would stop by here and give us a word of inspiration. Give me some thoughts and questions and things that I can share with this listening audience around the world, that they too will be blessed and inspired, that they may be a blessing and inspiration to others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we thank you. Amen. All right, we're going to go ahead at this time and bring in my very special guest that's going to be joining us. This young lady is an author. She's very seasoned. When I say seasoned, that means she's a mature lady with high intellect. She's as I said, she's an author. She has a children's book out, and I am very excited to get going with her this evening. And, of course, if you want to get in on tonight's broadcast and talk about some things, because tonight is a very special show, you can certainly get in early and press 1. We may or may not elect to take some calls over the air, because this show only lasts for about 30 minutes. And so oftentimes we'll do some preaching, but tonight is going to be basically an interview that deals with some questions. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and introduce to some and present to others a lady whom I've had the honor of knowing and the pleasure of knowing for a number of years. And I am just so happy to have her joining us this evening. None other than Miss Linda M. Tsai, the author of Do Children Go to Heaven When They Die? Miss Tsai, welcome to the broadcast, and thank you for joining me on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here tonight.
Okay. Let's start out just briefly, if you would. Tell my audience a little bit about you, how you got started. I did mention your book, Do Children Go to Heaven When They Die? You know, who you are, how you got started, how they may contact you, and also how they can go about getting a copy of your book.
How I got started is in 2005, I was in Uganda and preparing for ministry, and I was impressed by God to write a book that can continue my ministry. And so I'd gotten into Uganda 4 days before our team, and in a conference room, I prayed and asked God to give me something that would edify him and touch the hearts of men, since there were so many things happening in the world. As I was reading my Bible, I was impressed to write about the subject of death. And so in 2012, it was published. I am the author, and then Alexandro Quadra, he is the illustrator, and he's an excellent illustrator. The book can be purchased at ABC in Miami Springs and also on Amazon.com. You can also contact me at 786-488-6469. There is so much suffering in the world, and even though people attend a going home service, they still don't receive the comfort in terms of their loved one. And there's death all around the world, from accidents, from war, from sudden tragedies. But we need comfort. And so the book was written to give comfort and hope to families, because over years they're still troubled over a dead loved one.
Okay, well, excellent. Now, your website and a phone number, once again, if you can go ahead and give us that information.
The book is located on Amazon.com, and the telephone number to reach me is 786-488-6469. It's already located at the ABC in Miami Springs, Florida. They can purchase the book in that store.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Now, as Ms. Tsai mentioned, her book, she's the author of Do Children Go to Heaven When They Die? Let me just ask you directly, and of course the disclaimer is the opinions that are expressed on this broadcast as well as my Tuesday night show does not necessarily reflect the opinions that are expressed from this host. The information presented is actually a person given their own interpretation and perceptions just as much as I'm giving mine. So the information, of course, as presented, whether it's my featured guest, co-host, or myself, is for educational purposes only and should not be perceived as a replacement for the licensed, certified, or professional help in the appropriate field. Now, Ms. Tsai here, being an author of her book, Do Children Go to Heaven When They Die? I'm going to ask her some specific questions. And, of course, this author does not necessarily endorse any religious beliefs or spiritual beliefs that may be in contrast or conflict to those of my own. But as I said earlier, it's for education purposes only and should be perceived as such. Now, Ms. Tsai, let me ask you a direct question requiring a direct response. Not only do children die when they go to heaven, but, you know, the title of your book, do children die, do people die when they go to heaven? Do they go to heaven when they die? You know, this is what I'm asking. Can you explain that to me? Because I've been taught otherwise.
Well, when a person dies, his breath is out of him. And we've seen many TV shows from children. The last thing that we see a person take is their last breath. And based upon what I've studied, do children go to heaven? Do adults go to heaven? No, they go to their grave 6 feet below. And they're waiting to hear a sound of a trumpet. And the dead in Christ shall rise. Now, that's what I've studied. And the comfort that we have is hope. Everybody needs hope. You have many people. As a result of a loved one dying, you know, it's tragic. But they are still troubled after going to a going home service. They need to have hope beyond the grave.
Okay, now when you say a going home service, I'm trying to make certain that I understand you correctly. When you say a going home service, is that going home service going home to a cemetery, a grave? Is that going to heaven?
Well, the understanding that I have in terms of going home, individuals believe that when a person dies, that their spirit ascends in a form and goes straight to heaven. And they're communicating with God, and they're up there with God and the angels. But the logic is, what sense is it for them to be up in heaven with God when he says that he's coming again? He said he's coming, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Okay,
so
all right.
So going home,
now,
yeah. So that's, yeah, go ahead.
So, but you're saying the going home is what a number of people perhaps subscribe to. What do you believe? Do you think going home for you, what does going home mean for you, having a going home?
Well, going home does mean being with Christ. But the fact is that when a person dies, he goes to his grave, and that is their home until Christ calls them from the grave. For
okay, so going home for you
does,
is going,
yes.
Going home to
Go
a,
ahead,
going to a grave. Going up to a grave.
Yes.
Okay.
To a resting
now,
place.
Okay. Now, you have some people that feel that this resting place is purgatory. You know, there are certain religious organizations or denominations that believe that this resting place is purgatory. How do you feel about that?
Well, that ideology came about in the early 1800s, where there was a gentleman that preached damnation and an eternal hell of burning. But it could not be an eternal hell of burning, because if you burn a piece of paper, it turns into ashes. So you would say to yourself, when will that individual turn into ashes? A person can work until the end of their life. They have worked forever. So I don't ascribe to a place where a person is being burned forever and fried or over a stove. That's cruel. And based upon what I've read in the Bible, God is a loving God, and he's not cruel.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Speaking of what you just mentioned, and oftentimes people speak about hell, they refer to hell as a place where those angels, the fallen angels, and his imps, I believe they call them, will burn in hell forever and ever. I mean, is that not being burning eternally, or...
That's only
you
a theology that individuals have subscribed to, but that's not necessarily based upon what individuals read in the Bible. The word hell can also mean a place, a grave site. It has many connotations from the Hebrew and also from the Greek.
Okay. Let me ask you this then. When Jesus, did Jesus visit hell while he was in the Sepulchre? Did he visit hell?
Well, he did visit hell. He was in the grave. I told you that word can also mean grave, a holding place.
All right. Let me go to the phone lines, and we're going to maybe take a couple of our callers this evening. we may not be able to get to more than that. They perhaps may have a question. And then I'm going to come back to your book because you talk about two friends, two childhood friends, and one of their names is Jim. Jim ended up passing away or dying as a kid, and his other friend heard this over the television, and it broke his heart to know, and he wondered what would happen to Jim now. We're going to come back to that. Let me just go to the phone line. We're going to go to area code 919-875. Thank you for joining. This is your half-hour inspirational program. Who do we have on the line with us this evening? And welcome.
This is Gloria.
Gloria, thank you
for
joining
us. How are
you all? We're doing great.
Thank you, Gloria.
Let me ask you this question. Did you have a question, Gloria, for my featured guest this evening, Miss Linda Tsai?
No, Miss, not a question, but I have to agree with Miss Tsai to an extent. You know,
okay, what extent is that? And what do you agree with, and to what extent is that?
When she was saying that, did she say the spirit or the breath, whatever, it is the breath that goes back to God. And the rest of the body goes to the grave. Because from dust we are and back to dust we belong, we go. And the spirit does go back to God who gave it. And, you know, I was wondering also when she was saying that burying the body, it is another hell. That is the hell in the Greek. It is hell. But purgatory is a place where they say it's in between heaven and hell. And that came out long time, way before the 1800s. and Greek mythology. And a lot of times the Romans used that as a way of scamming money from their people, parishioners. And they would take money from the people in order to pay their loved ones out of hell, out of purgatory, so that, you know, so they wouldn't go to hell. This is what they had them thinking. This is where that comes from.
Okay,
I do agree with you,
question,
my sister.
Okay,
I do agree with her.
Okay,
yes.
Let me ask you all this question then. What statement of fact or evidence or research do you all have to support what you all are mutually agreeing upon?
Well, during the time of Martin Luther, they wanted to build a grand basilica. So the Pope that was in power at that time, he sent out a gentleman in order to be able to collect monies to be able to build that basilica. And so they constructed the belief of purgatory, that the individuals were able to buy or purchase their individuals out of purgatory for a number of ducats. So that case, if you go back and you study, you'll find out that it came out during the period and reign of Martin Luther, the great reformer.
Okay, all right. Now, okay, very good. Let me go ahead and see if we can get another caller in here and see if we can entertain some question or concern that they may have. We're going to go to area code 786-372. Thank you for joining us this evening. Who do we have on the air? 786-372? Okay, perhaps it's someone that just wants to listen in. All right, we will go back. I want to go back now to address something with your book, that is. And that which I wanted to address dealt with Jim, the childhood, one of the little boy that died, and his friend that heard the horrific news over the television found comfort ultimately in knowing that, you know, his father led him in all spirit and in truth. Now, you know, when we think about death, there are a number of people that subscribe to the notion that that's the final, that's it. Because they look at what the Bible says about, you know, the grass. The grass, you know, is here for a season, and then it's at the end of that season, that's the final resting place. it is no more. But then a new birth or a new growth of grass will take place. How would you relate that, Miss I, to your story of death?
Of death in terms of grass and a
of,
new growth?
Yeah, of the grass.
I do agree.
That's final. That's it. Mm-hmm.
Well, it is final to a point, but what happens that when the spring comes, the grass grows again. But what God is saying to us is that there is hope beyond the grave. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Jim did die. He did mm-hmm. die. But the Father told him, why don't you go and study the Word of God, find out what happened. The Bible tells us that the dead in Christ shall rise first. So we
Amen.
Have the hope that this young boy will be able to rise up out of his grave and be able to reunite with his family.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, so let me ask this question then. So when Jim died, if I understand it correctly and what you're saying based on your book, then
mm-hmm.
the breath, it went back to God from whence it came. Is that what you're telling me, Miss I?
It went back to the atmosphere. God is a mighty God. He is a sovereign. He made each one of us. And in the book of Genesis, he took his mouth and put it over man's nostrils and breathed into him, and man became a living soul. So when man dies, that breath comes out of him and goes back to the atmosphere or to the God who gave it.
Wait a minute. Now I got to make sure I don't get confused, and I'm trying to keep it where my listening audience are not confused. When you say goes back into the atmosphere or the God that gave it, are you suggesting that there's other gods, and you may have a God of creation, you may have a God of a firmament, you may have a God of this, or is there one God, and that God is the atmosphere? I mean, help us understand that now.
I'm talking about a God, an individual, a person. That breath goes back to the God, not just different gods. There is a Trinity. There's God the
okay.
Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But we see that the God who fashioned his body, it goes back to God. God made
okay.
this world. It goes back to God.
Okay, so you're saying then, okay, so you're not just saying it goes to the atmosphere. You're saying it goes, unless you were referencing the atmosphere being God. Am I understanding correctly?
Oh, you're trying, what are you saying? You're saying that the atmosphere is God?
No,
we're
I mean, you
pantheist.
Said it goes back, the breath goes
yeah, but
back.
Yeah, but we're not pantheist. Saying that there's God in the atmosphere, it goes back to inside of the atmosphere, into the air.
Okay.
Everybody
now,
takes a deep breath, they inhale, then they exhale. And then if we don't have breath in our body, then we die.
Okay, all right. But the breath, that final breath, as it's released or energized into the atmosphere, it ultimately reaches God? Is that what happens?
Can you say that? Because I couldn't understand you clearly.
Yeah. Is it when they take that person takes that final breath, okay, like in Jim's case, the final breath was released, it was separated from his body, and it was transcended into the atmosphere. Was there a journey that it took to reach God, or did it instantly go to God from the atmosphere?
It immediately goes back into the atmosphere, which God owns. He owns this world. He
okay.
has the whole world
right.
in his hand.
Right. All right. We're gonna go ahead and take another one of my callers. This time we're gonna go to area code 770559. Thank you for joining us. And who do we have on the air with us this evening?
Hi. This is Marcina.
Marcina, thank you for joining us. Marcina, did you have a question or a comment for my featured guest, or just a thought?
I have a question. I would like to know, how do you or your guests explain people who have died and come back and they all have the same experience of seeing the white light? What's that about?
Okay, that's a very good question, Marcina. We appreciate that question. Miss I, help us out with that. Let's say, for example, that out-of-body experience or that near-death experience or whatever it is they call it now. How do you explain that?
The near-death experience, have they really died? Are they still living? Is it out of mind? That's what I'm asking her.
Marcina, go ahead.
From what I've read about these individuals, they all say the same thing. They were kind of in a, their heart stopped, and they were revived. So they had a few moments where, as far as their heart, they were no longer alive.
It's possible, Marcina, for a person to have an out-of-body experience, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are totally dead. Remember, God is the one that gives life. And I have heard of stories where people have died and they've been, their breath has left their body maybe for 2 or 3 minutes. And then in God's mercy, he's allowed them to be revived. God giveth and God taketh away.
So what's that white light?
I have no clue in terms of what God allows them to experience, whether it's a tunnel, whether it's a big ray of light that they see. I think that our greatest hope is just in living. You know, Ponce de Leon looked for a fountain of youth. He wanted to live forever. And I think that each one of us would love to live forever, but we're told in God's word that the living know that they shall die, but the dead don't know anything. So if those people had even a glimpse of living, even for, they went out for 5 minutes and then came back, I would say, hallelujah, praise God. Because everybody wants to live.
But when you have and I tend to lean on that concern that Marciana had also, when you hear so many stories, and the thing about it, there's some commonalities within these stories, you know, you do begin to wonder, what is that white light? And some have even said they see their loved ones beckoning them on to come on over. Now, could it be that this is an illusion? This is the energy that the body is going through some final stages. What do you think, Ms. Sine?
It's possible that it is an illusion. I want to give her an example. I've been to Africa almost 20 times, and there was a missionary who lost their child. Child had died because she accidentally had taken some poison. So what they did is they funeralized the child, and then they had the repast. And the mother decided that she would take a walk. And so she wanted just to clear her head. On her way coming back to the house, when she came inside the house, there was a form at the top of the stairway. And the mother, looking at the top of the stairway, heard a child saying, "Mommy, I'm here, I'm safe." But there was no bottom. There was no legs, just the chest, just the face. And then was her remembering what the word of God said, the living know that they shall die, and the dead know not anything. Now, this is a true story because I've been to Africa. She said,
right,
in the name of Jesus, and that form vanished right before her very eyes. I believe that it's an illusion.
Okay.
And I believe
go ahead.
Am I talking too much?
Go ahead, finish your statement.
Okay.
You believe that what?
Okay. I honestly believe that we have to realize there's not only a God here, but there's a devil. And the devil can impersonate the dead.
Amen.
He can do it.
Amen.
He can impersonate them.
All right, we're about 40 seconds running almost out of time. Gloria, did you have a quick comment that you wanted to say quickly, please?
Should I say a last comment?
I was trying to give Gloria an opportunity. I thought you wanted to
talk. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, Gloria.
Go ahead and give us a 15-second thought before I close out. And then we'll continue with this part two of next week. Are you available next week, Ms. Sine?
Yes, I am. My statement to close is this. The comfort is, do children go to heaven when they die? Oh, no. There's 6 feet below. But there is hope beyond the grave because the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air to see their Lord and Savior. You have hope beyond the grave, everyone.
All right. Well, on that note, Ms. I, the author of Do Children Go to Heaven When They Die? She's going to be joining us again for part two of this segment on next Friday evening from 8 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I encourage each and every one of you all to tune in and join us at that time. Of course, if you also want to stop by and check us out next Tuesday evening for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, we will be glad to have you. Of course, if we miss you then, we'll see you back here next week, next Friday from 8 to 8:30 p.m. with my featured guest, Ms. Linda Tsai. Thank you so much, Ms. Tsai, for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jesse Walker, for this opportunity.
Yes, and for all my listening audience around the world, I say to you all, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.